save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeldwin. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeldwin windows today. View our entire selection of Jeldwin windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. It's finally week one. It's finally time to talk some Big 12 football. What's up? How are you? I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We talk about the Big 12. We'll cover all of it here right on this show. And I can't stop smiling, because football is finally here. And if you are new to the show, know that we'll have picks and bad bets for you later in the week. But right now, I want to give you my top five storylines to watch for week one in the Big 12 Conference. By the way, hit that thumbs up on the video if you're on YouTube. Subscribe if you're on iTunes. We've got 780-something ratings now. Can you help us get to 800? What do you think? By Saturday? Is that too much to ask? Just drop that five-star rating and review. Would so appreciate you doing that. And it's a great way to help this show grow. Same thing on Spotify. Thank you, guys. Yeah, 781 as I look at it right now. And thank you, as always, to our radio affiliates. So week one in the Big 12 is not the best week. Week two is much more loaded. But week one, there are five big storylines that are worth watching in the Big 12 Conference. And the biggest storyline is what's happening in Morgantown, West Virginia, where the Mountaineers host the Penn State Nittany Lions in what I have called all offseason long the biggest game in the Big 12. And the reason it's the biggest game in the Big 12 is because the Big 12 has a perception problem right now. The perception is all the blue bloods, all the top 10, 15 programs are mostly sitting there in the Big 10 and the SEC. And the Big 12, you know, they've got some cute teams, 15 to 25, Utah, Oklahoma State, K-State, KU, Arizona. But come on, the big dogs, they're all in the Big 10 and the SEC. If the Big 12 gets a win with West Virginia over a top 10 Penn State team, a team that a lot of folks have going to the college football playoff, that is the stamp of approval for this league right there out of the gates. That dramatically changes the perception of this conference at a time that it desperately needs it. That's why this game is so enormous for the West Virginia Mountaineers and, frankly, for the entire Big 12. If you are a fan of one of the other 15 Big 12 schools, I don't care if you just got here, if you're a Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State fan, I don't care if you've been here for a year, UCF, Cincinnati, BYU, Houston. I don't care if you've been here since the get-go, like Oklahoma State and Kansas State and Iowa State. You have got to be rooting for West Virginia. That's what you've got to be doing. And by the way, the Mountaineers are fired up for this game. I will give you a pick later in the week, but I'm just telling you, they are fired up in Morgantown for this game. They still have a chip on their shoulder from the way last year played out, with Penn State scoring that late touchdown to end up covering the spread. They're not happy about it. They've talked about it. Now, it's not going to be easy, but just understand, this game is so important on so many levels for the Big 12, and it's the kind of game that can change a lot of things, not just for that program, but for the entire conference at a time that it desperately needs it. I can't think of a game that's been bigger for the Big 12 in the regular season. I mean, I can think of like TCU in the college football playoff, but I'm saying a regular season game that has had this kind of an impact in the non-conference for the entire conference, I can't think of one in recent memory that would come anywhere close to this because of what's at stake, what's on the line, and what matters for this conference going forward. So that is the biggest storyline to watch in the Big 12 this weekend. Second biggest storyline is Thursday night. Not the four games, but specifically what's going on and what will go on in Boulder, Colorado. Now, before you think, oh, I'm just latching onto a Deion storyline here, it's not really about that. It's just of all these FCS games that Big 12 teams have in the opener, this is the one that you look at and you say, okay, one, it's got the most drama around it because it's Deion, and two, it's one of the ones that you look at and say, the Big 12 team could end up losing that game. We've got all the previews, all the predictions up at heartlandcollegesports.com. I believe Matthew Postens wrote this for us this week. He predicted Colorado to lose. Now, I'm not going that far. I think they're going to win the game. But if you want to create a narrative and create a storyline of high-level drama in Boulder, Colorado, right out of the gates to start the season, a loss at home on a Thursday night, a game that is going to be airing nationally on ESPN, will get a tremendous amount of attention. It's already been a rocky offseason for Deion. I mean, now he's banning reporters from Denver or not letting them ask questions, I guess, because he doesn't really care for them. So there's a lot of media that want to see him fail. I'm not one of those, by the way. I don't want to see Deion Sanders fail. I don't think it's good for the Big 12 for Deion Sanders to fail. But I get it. When you're a guy who's built yourself up like Deion, people want to drag you down. People want to see you fail. So if that happens, man, you want to talk about things just taking off with Colorado and Deion Sanders and there being a tremendous, even more so, amount of drama around that team. A loss at North Dakota State would do that because then they got to go to Nebraska in week two. And that is not going to be an easy game for them because Nebraska's starting to get better. And heck, then they got Colorado State. And we know how that game went last year. And there's no love lost between those teams. Then they open up conference play against Baylor. And while I don't think Baylor's going to be very good, Baylor could be an improved team when all is said and done. So Thursday night, Colorado, North Dakota State, yes, an FCS opponent, but man, that is a huge game. And frankly, the other reason that if you're a Big 12 fan, you should want your team to win this game, or I should say Colorado to win this game, is for the simple fact that unless you want the conference to be all about Deion, and unless you want the only time national media to talk about this conference is Deion, then let's just get Colorado to win the game. Okay, best case scenario for the Big 12, Colorado wins a ho-hum game. 2 days later, West Virginia pounds Penn State. That's the best case scenario this weekend for the Big 12, if you look at it from afar. Now, as we go through the top five storylines of the Big 12, let me give you number three for the weekend. The third biggest storyline ties in to the last one, and that is, can the Big 12 hold serve on all these FCS games? Kansas, Lindenwood, UCF, New Hampshire. We talked about Colorado. Utah's got Southern Utah. Oklahoma State, tough matchup with a very good South Dakota State program. Cincinnati, Towson. Iowa State, North Dakota. K-State, UT Martin. Baylor, Tarleton State. Tech, Abilene Christian. BYU, Southern Illinois. So you've got all these games, and then you have the group of five games as well. Can the Big 12 not suffer a major upset? And I say that because, unfortunately, we've seen them in recent years. Heck, last year, you had Baylor losing to Texas State. You had Oklahoma State losing a couple of weeks later to South Alabama. I mean, it was a total, utter mess for the Big 12 in some of these supposedly easy non-conference games. And it happened at a terrible time when the league was about to lose Oklahoma and Texas. So the Big 12, once again, tying it back to West Virginia, Penn State, you've got to hold serve here with the FCS games. In an ideal world, the Big 12 goes 16-0, right? Including, of course, a huge win by West Virginia over Penn State. But I'm not sitting here predicting that at all. I would love to predict it, but I won't predict it. In fact, I don't think it's going to happen. There's just too many pitfalls. Even if West Virginia beats Penn State, can TCU go on the road late game Friday, beat Stanford? Heck, Wyoming at Arizona State. Wyoming beat Texas Tech last year. Don't forget how that season started off for the Red Raiders. You've got the FCS matchups that are tricky that I mentioned earlier. And now's the time. You think about the FCS programs. This is why these games are so much more interesting than they were even just a few years ago. The FCS programs are typically, not always, but typically, the FCS programs will be filled with teams of guys who obviously are not Power 5 quality. But what do they have? They're guys who have probably been in the program for years. They don't have the turnover that you see at the Power 5 level. They just don't have it, right? The portal, the NIL, that's really not stuff that's going to happen at the FCS level. If you're good enough, you're going to play it at the Power 4, Power 5 level. So it's kind of like Hoosiers in a sense, right? It's kind of like the classic underdog story where early in the season, the team that's been together with the same staff, the same players that know each other, they've been preparing for this moment. This is the moment, like the Cinderella in the NCAA tournament, that these guys will tell their grandkids about one day. And they've got the group that's been together for so long, whereas now a lot of the big programs, they're still getting to know each other. Some of these guys haven't seen live bullets against competition with the guy standing next to him on the D-line, on the O-line. I mean, this is a first for a lot of these guys. So that's where these FCS games have become, I think, trickier, just based on how the matchups are and how the teams are now made up at both levels. So I want the Big 12 to obviously be undefeated when all is said and done. But I've seen enough to know that especially now as we go from 10 to 14 to 16 teams, somebody's going to crap the bed. I don't know who. I'm not going to speculate because then the fan base is going to hate me. But listen, we know who the good programs are at the FCS level. North Dakota State, South Dakota State. I mean, those are programs that obviously, you know, have won at a very high level at the FCS. And they're both on the Big 12 schedule this week. So that's why it's something that's got to be kept a close eye on. The fourth biggest storyline to watch in the Big 12 this week.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Is the Friday night matchup TCU and Stanford. Now, not just because it's one of the better games, but here's the thing. I think TCU is going to be dramatically improved. I think TCU is flying under the radar. I think that's where Sonny Dykes wants his team to be. But you've got to get off on the right foot, late night, Friday night game, ESPN. The Big 12's got to look good when it's on the big network. And you've got the Thursday Colorado-North Dakota State game. You've got the Friday TCU at Stanford game. It's a late game, by the way, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central. So, and what is it in Mountain Time even? I don't even know. I mean, the Mountain Time's changing with daylight savings. I get so confused by that. But now that we got Big 12 teams there, I've got to figure all that out. But I admit that's still foreign to me. But it'll be obviously 7:30 local time out west. So that's a game where TCU's body clock's thrown off a little bit. The late games are always tricky when you're going from east to west. And if you're Sonny Dykes, if you're TCU, if you want to get off to the right start, because Sonny Dykes needs a good year. I'm not saying he's on a hot seat. He's not. He was in a national championship game 2 years ago. He's not on a hot seat. Let me be very clear about that. But he did go 5-7 last year. And he had some big-time guys in the portal come in, and it just never clicked. And we had him on this show a couple of months ago, and he talked about how he could tell during practice in the offseason this group was not coming together like it needed to. Well, he needs this group to come together, and he needs it to come together real fast. That's what he needs. Because especially against the Stanford team that's now in the ACC, which is just beyond weird, getting a win for the Big 12 over the ACC is always valuable, especially right now with the ACC being on the rocks. So don't go out there in front of a likely half-empty stadium at Stanford and just drop a bomb. Please, TCU, don't do that. The Big 12 doesn't need that. And that's something that has got to be looked at if you're TCU, if you're a Big 12 fan. I'll obviously be locked in on Friday night, mostly because I'm watching in fear, just like the Colorado-North Dakota State game. I'm kind of watching in fear just to make sure our teams end up pulling out the win. And the fifth biggest storyline in the Big 12 for week one of the college football season is the adjustment. The adjustment for those of us who are not in Mountain Time or Pacific Time, staying up until potentially midnight, 1 a.m. for these late games. I'd be lying to you if I said I was thrilled about this. I'm not. Now, I love our new partners. You know this. I love our new teams. I love the fans. You guys have been awesome. I've gotten to know so many of you on the website, on our forums, which I hope that you will join now that the season is underway for free at heartlandcollegesports.com. We had a Penn State fan on there this week, and not to sidetrack it, but he was like, yeah, I love the Big 12. Big 12 is a lot of fun. I'm sick of the Big 10. I'm like, all right, cool. Welcome in, bro. But anyway, we now have to get used to games starting on Saturdays at 11 o'clock Central, if you're in Central time like me, and ending probably around 1 a.m. It's 14 hours of football. I'm never going to complain about too much football. I will say, though, as somebody who's got kids who are 5, 3, and 5 months, I'm trying to figure out how to get through the season alive and in one piece. I'm still trying to figure out what that balance is going to be. Because I'm excited. Like, I want to watch these teams that, admittedly, I have not watched nearly as much of over the years covering the Big 12. Like, I haven't watched a lot of Arizona State football. I readily admit it, over the last few years. I haven't watched a lot of Arizona, a little more Arizona because they've been more in the national spotlight, but not a ton. I haven't watched Colorado, you know, Dion last year was mildly entertaining. Haven't watched a ton of Utah. I mean, they've been in big games, so I've seen them in the big national games. But week to week, I haven't really watched them a ton in recent years. Them probably more so than anybody else who's coming in. But now it's like 1 a.m. if you're in Central Time. And if you're on the East Coast, if you're a UCF fan, a West Virginia fan, a Cincinnati fan, dang, you're going to be up till 2 in the morning for some of these games. I'm not saying you should do it. Don't put your family, you know, your profession or anything at risk. But you could go from noon on the East Coast till 2 a.m. And I understand it. Listen, part of the appeal of these new teams in the Big 12, throwing BYU, obviously, is they can take that late slot. And ESPN and Fox want to take advantage of that. They love the late slot. I mean, it gives them something to air late into the night. People are at bars. They're hanging out. They want a game to be on. But you're not going to start an SEC, an ACC, a Big Ten game at, you know, at least not a Big Ten game on the East Coast. You're not going to start that game at 10 o'clock Eastern. That's insane. You start that game at 8 at the latest. So what is filling that role for your TV partners? Well, now the Big 12 is. The Big 12 is more likely to fill that role, let's be honest, than USC, than UCLA, than Oregon, than Washington. They're more likely to put those teams into that 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern time because they've also most likely will have teams coming from Eastern time in the Big Ten, and they don't want those teams playing at 10 o'clock at night for their body clock. That's just dangerous. And plus, they are more likely to want the USCs and Oregons in more of a primetime slot. But they can slide in these Big 12 games into that old Pac-12 after dark slot. And that's what ESPN and Fox, to a lesser extent, but mostly ESPN, is going to end up doing with these games. That's how it's going to play out. So get used to some very late nights, probably every week. If you're a Big 12 fan, that's just a reality of the situation in terms of how I see it playing out. And it's going to be fun, but I'm not going to lie. It's going to be tiresome. So those are your top five storylines to watch in the Big 12 for week one. You've got number one, West Virginia, Penn State. Number two, Colorado avoiding an upset on Thursday night against North Dakota State. Third, the Big 12 holding serve in all the FCS games. The fourth one, TCU Friday night at Stanford. And then number five, get used to the late night games. All right, let me look at some of your comments and questions here on the show at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thanks for being here. We cover the Big 12. Could you hit that thumbs up button for us? Could you subscribe on the podcast for me, iTunes and Spotify? Drop that five-star rating and review. The season's here. So now is when there is no excuse to not be on board. And everything we're giving you is free of charge. So all I'm asking for you to do is to make sure you're here. Share the show with a friend. Subscribe. Do all those little things that matter. Leave a five-star rating and review. All right. Parker says, I personally have not seen this amount of anticipation and excitement for West Virginia in a long time. I'm feeling that halfway across the country, and that's why I'm so excited. But when I predict this game later in the week, I don't want that enthusiasm and excitement to cloud my judgment on the pick. So I will have the picks for you coming up on Thursday night. All right, what do we have here? Pete, no Big 12 team should lose to an FCS team, especially at this point. They're almost must wins, right? Absolutely. I mean, that's – now, can I see them slipping up in a game? Yes, they have some very good Big 12 or FCS opponents. North Dakota State can beat Colorado on Thursday. But is it inexcusable? Yes, it still is inexcusable for a power four talent team to lose to an FCS team. It's still inexcusable, but it's entirely possible that it can happen for the reasons I talked about earlier. No doubt about it. Jay Brock, West Virginia has a brutal schedule until early November, except for the Albany game. If they get to Halloween with two or fewer wins, it will be a hell of an accomplishment. I think you mean two or fewer losses. I hope. Yes. West Virginia's schedule is unbelievable. They've got the Penn State game. They've got Pitt. Then they got Kansas, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona. That's the toughest schedule in the Big 12 for the first 2 months, hands down, in Morgantown, and it's not even close. It is a brutal schedule for the West Virginia Mountaineers. If you look at that slate for West Virginia, and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If they go 6-2, they're in the Big 12 championship game because they can roll through their November schedule. Cincinnati, Baylor, UCF, Texas Tech could be tough. But if they get there at 6-2 in November, I'm putting West Virginia in the Big 12 championship game. I mean, that would be as impressive as it gets. 5-3 is still pretty damn good, and they'll be in the hunt, especially if one of those three losses is the Penn State. I mean, if they're going into November in the Big 12, and they're 5-3, so let's say they're 3-2 in conference play, and they've got those four November games, they're in the mix. They're very much in the conversation to get to a Big 12 championship at that point. You'd feel great about 6-2. You'd feel really good about 5-3. And that's where I've got to believe Neil Brown would probably tell you he's pretty happy as well. Yeah. Fine says, Utah's overrated. Y'all overhyping them to win the Big 12 in their first year? Big disappointment. My pick this year is going to be Arizona. I'm very high on Utah. Mostly because I think they'll have the best defense in the Big 12. They've got the most experienced quarterback, obviously, in the Big 12. Although I think Alan Bowman's on year 22, so he might have Cam Rising by a year. But either way, you know, keep him healthy, keep him upright. Maybe not the explosive skill level positions they've had in the past, but depth at those positions. You love the defense, and you love the coaching staff, and the home field advantage that comes with Utah. So I've got them winning the Big 12. I gave those predictions earlier in the week. I have Utah over UCF in the Big 12 championship game, which would be a repeat and a rematch of their Week 14 game in Orlando. But it's going to be a hell of a season. You can make the case for 7 teams out of 16 in this conference to win the whole thing. That's how damn good it is going to be, and that's how much fun it's going to be. And that's why you've got to stay with us at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you for being here, for being a part of the show. Make sure you're subscribed, and we'll be talking to you soon with picks against the spread, predictions, and much more. So make sure you're here. The season's about to get started, and I can't wait. Go Big 12. Have a great day.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.